Jason Navarra invites you to Get This with Tony Martin and Ed Cavalli.
With Richard Marsland on the buttons.
Yes, we're still here. And today, who else is saying, that's it, I'm out of here. We'll meet Australia's biggest bikers.
Misha Barton's career back on track.
We'll recall the federal treasurer's brush with hallucinogenic drugs.
Computer games help snaffle hot girlfriends.
New over-explaining crime dramas we've cooked up for your ABC.
Steven Seagal offers us all new jobs.
We're off to the theatre, the amateur theatre. Is there any other kind?
Energy drinks and alcohol. Are you maximising your dangerous heart rate potential?
And in the second hour, Alan Bro is here with his music knowledge, exotic accent, and difficult attitude. He's a difficult man there, bro. Don't you find?
I do find that. Everybody knows Tony's got the info. Crazy tunes hanging out the window.
Yes, it's all coming up on the ongoing radio experiment that is Get This.
Now, this is not the sort of experiment that Australia can afford at this particular time.
Okay. Well, all right. I kiss the ground on which you walk.
Thank you. The hoodoo guru's like, wow, wipe out. Good morning, everybody. Good afternoon, good evening, good night. Depends where you're listening around the world. It is Get This, still broadcasting on Triple M around Australia with myself, Tony Martin.
Oh, yep.
Thank you very much. We've got Ed Cavalli.
Hello. Thank you.
Pushing the buttons. Richard Marsland. Oh, hang on. He's big noting himself again, Ed. Can't get enough of himself, that bloke.
You're not JT now.
Absolutely.
Don't deserve all this.
Talk amongst yourselves. It'll be
hang on. Ducks, get off me shoes.
People want them.
Me ankles.
Don't know how they get into the studio.
Those are my wraps. Don't wag your tail at me.
Are they finished? Yes.
Yeah, see you, Ducks.
Thank you, Ducks. And people calling out, people writing in, wanting certain people to be on this show in our final week.
She's not many shows to go, Tone. It's an ever smaller window.
The co-host SmackDown is beginning. Mm,
fantastic.
Who are we going to have in? And obviously people want Greg Fleet in the last week.
Yeah, good luck. Yep.
Lachie Hume has...
I love Lachie Hume.
He's emailed me this morning from the States. He's flying back.
What? Brilliant.
He's an angry, angry man. I think that's just a general comment about his state of mind.
Unrelated.
And I love this is my favorite.
And he's in LA.
Yeah.
And he's coming back to do our show.
That's right, just to do our show.
I feel like Parkinson.
That's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, well, he's a busy man, Lachie Hume, and he does send you the funniest emails in the world.
What's going on?
Everyone is
always feeling
suitable for framing. He's saying he's coming back. Count me in, my friends. Qantas are presently attending to my arrangements.
They've got a crack team of IT guys dealing with my internet booking.
Lachie Hume and McDonald's talking on the phone. Hang on. Yes, yes, McDonald's are just attending to my arrangements. Yes. No fries on that, mate. Thanks.
There's a young man just quartering a pound for me. In the quarters, thank you, sir.
No, we love Lachie Hume.
So we'll have a flake in my Sunday. Better ask my people, but... initially, that's a good offer.
It wouldn't be the final week of Get This if he wasn't here, you know, burning a few bridges.
I thought for the final week of Get This, I might go to Germany, Tone. That's in the spirit of the show.
For the first time.
Or for the Beijing Olympics. Or
for the Beijing Olympics. Nice one, Richard Marsland. Give yourself another round. No, don't.
Oh, no.
You don't have time.
Too many.
Ross Noble is flying back from the UK, especially to appear on our second to last episode.
I mean, that is, that's good sizzle.
Yes. We have to get an orchestra in then. We have to get like a Parkinson-style orchestra and a staircase, and they can walk out and stop at the landing, look at the camera, and then continue
walking the way
they do on Parkinson.
We could get your sister's hot string quartet in.
I haven't
seen enough of them.
There have been quite a few requests for Godiva.
Oh, man.
Not sure how I feel about that. She'll probably be here.
I'll crack onto the other three.
If it's going to be an orchestra for Ross Noble, they'll only be able to do theme songs from obscure British television programs. That would sound good. Listen to this, though. Ross has been touring around. He did this amazing... thing, which I don't know if anyone's ever done in comedy before. He did a gig live at some fancy venue, and it was beamed to 30 cinemas.
So you could sit in there and watch Ross live?
You go to the movies and watch Ross live on the screen. I think Robbie Williams did something like this.
It's amazing.
Anyway, Ross has been touring around, and listen to this. He's going, on my current UK tour, I've been playing venues which only days earlier had played host to Steven Seagal and Thunderbox.
Ooh!
He's been following in the footsteps of Steven Seagal.
Of the box.
Of the box.
And how's it been going?
Sadly, every poster in the venues has either been taken by crazed fans or burned by pissed off backstage crew.
Unquote, our noble.
The lighting guy would be happy to have a gig though, finally, because, you know, with the Steven Seagal gigs, there's no lights involved. No. It's in pure darkness. Finally, he's got something to do.
Speaking of Steven Seagal, where's that email from Joe Downblouse of New South Wales? Yes. I got a sweet gig for you guys. If your petition ain't successful, you can all dress up in Japanese kimonos and service Steven Seagal. Mm. Tony can massage the back and shoulders. Ed can gently comb his hair.
Okay.
What's left of it. Yep. And the Marsland can feed him a can of Indian Snatcher. That's dizzy stuff.
That's lovely.
Now, I heard that. I'm going, what? Indian Snatcher? What's he talking about? This was one of the big controversies from earlier in the year.
Baked bean gate.
That's right. The Heinz new flavoured beans.
That's right.
And they had outrageous titles that were sort of offending people. There was the Moroccan Rogue.
Okay, well, that's not that bad.
Was one of them. And
Was it the kind of the Mexican Jackal?
Yeah, something like that.
The Mexican Jackal. Not too offensive. And
the Indian Snatcher.
Well, hang on a second. Yeah.
Which you were obsessed with, Richard.
Yeah, I have a hazy memory.
Okay, let's play this segment. The only reason I'm playing this is for what happens at the end. Check it out. Yesterday, we learnt that
people want ducks.
Now, that was Silo, one of our callers, claiming people want ducks. He delivers them.
Silo, the duck delivery man, and he said it very, you know, sort of nonchalantly.
Yes.
Which makes me think that he's some kind of poultry-based Father Christmas. Just shows up to your house, ducks in tow.
It's very hard to argue with, though.
Yeah.
When someone says people want ducks, how can you disagree with that?
Yeah, well, okay, Silo, I'm willing to go with that.
And we were so intimidated, we went, oh, we better not say anything. This is obviously something everyone knows.
Yeah, what if he came around and threw ducks at us?
We're obviously just out of the loop here.
Silo's here again. Is he? It's ducks, isn't it? Pretend we're not home. But all the quacking inside from the other ducks he's brought, they know that we're in here. Bang, bang, got your ducks. We don't want any more ducks, Silo. We can't move for ducks. The quacking's keeping me up all night. The pond is full, my friend.
One Silo and his mate's kid on the phone, it turns into
one bizarre brew.
Man, how come?
Coming to Silo's house, holding a loaf of bread. It's a flurry of activity.
Looking here, and it says that Ed Caverley has a brand new segment.
Mm.
Now, he often says he has a brand new segment.
And the core reason the Australian don't believe him is that they've heard him say these things time and time and time again. And guess what? Time's up.
So what have you got
here? Okay, listen, if Mr. Rudd wants to be hairy-chested about whether or not, it's his favourite thing.
Yeah. Hairy-chested?
He likes a lot of cute talk too.
What?
They're getting cute. A lot of cute talk.
Really?
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
He's telling how it's getting cute.
But is
little
he right?
Bonnet with a lollipop as he announces things.
That's a good look. If John Howard wants to get a bonnet on with a lollipop and just get into a little pram, like the baby in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Brilliant.
Maybe with a cigar.
That's good.
We'll have him on the show.
Yep. Yeah.
Because we're having no politicians on this
unless
show.
Unless they're in bonnets. Okay. New segment called
When Restaurants Go Mad.
Restaurants?
Yeah. Michael Deek has emailed in, said that he used to live in a suburb in Victoria, and on the Western Highway there was a mixture of Chinese-Italian food called Chinatalia.
Really?
Yeah. He said it was baffling.
Because we've talked about this a bit when, you know, various nations combine one restaurant.
So I wouldn't think those two sweet and sour sort of linguine.
No, there's the Chinese-Italian crossover with the risotto.
Oh, look at this. Look what he's done with the gongji.
The rice and also the spaghetti and the noodles, apparently. Was it Marco Polo or
Nikki?
Columbus?
Nikki, you're our Marco Polo expert. Then listen to this one. You think that's crazy?
That is crazy.
Well, that's pretty. Oh, not really. Thanks, Rich, giving us somewhere to go. Have a listen to this. If this isn't crazy. And in another restaurant, there was a mixture of Maltese, Italian and a Thai restaurant.
When restaurants go mad.
Sorry. Did I open up a can of Indian Muncher when I said that that there was a Chinese-Italian crossover? Did
what
I really?
What did you just say? Think about what you just said.
What's it called?
You're thinking of the Indian Snatcher.
Indian Snatcher.
Which is, of course, a brand of Heinz mean
there
beans.
Richard Marsland's Indian Muncher. Well.
Quickly, go to a song, Rich.
You're sick, man. You're sick.
For in a moment, I'll get this at Triple M. Here's, yes, Fallout Boy. No, they don't. That's Fallout Boy here at Get This on Triple M, winding up in 2.5 weeks, and so much love coming in the form of emails, especially for Richard Marsland's mother.
Oh, yeah.
Joel White, New South Wales, said, "Guys, I'm just wondering if you'd be able to get Mrs. Marsland back on to co-host, because she has a rather sexy voice."
Okay. Yeah, she was putting on her phone voice.
Am I right in saying that in two breaks, Ed Cavalier has cracked on to my sister and now your mum?
No, yeah, I thought I was going to crack onto the other three in your sister's string quartet and leave your sister uncracked onto.
This is like the Funny Hair Style videos thing. You've told them now. They'll know. They'll be ready for you with their mates.
Yeah, that's good. Then they know, and I'll be like, "What's up, y'all?" And they'll be like, "We know what's going on."
You knew what you were getting into, ladies.
We know why we're here. Let's put these instruments down.
Oh, look, so many great emails. Hamildo Hilario wants us to record
Mildo.
An album. We were thinking of doing an album, but we need like a month, you know, off
no,
to do
I'm
it
not doing,
properly.
No. Tone, after this is finished, like after Get This is finished, right?
Yeah.
We may end up, so who knows what we might end up doing. We want to keep working together, right?
That's right.
But I can tell you one thing. If we ever release another album, it's going to be songs and they're going to be dead serious. This, I promise to you, this is, I've got a lot of stuff in me. I got to get out.
Yeah, well, this bloke here, Hamildo, reckons that we should do a live album in the style of The Last Waltz called The Wide Stance. I quite like that.
Great.
Live from the Veal Gardens. Beautiful.
Outstanding.
Joe Wallen is insisting that the actual version of John English's All Together Now theme be heard on this program before we sign off. Gregory Tui is recommending Ghost World as an emergency video recommendation at the video shop. I do like the Ghost World.
It's a good film.
I like a bit of You and Me and Everyone We Know.
Really?
That's a beauty.
Oh, I've not seen that. I had so many people put me off that.
Why?
Yeah, they didn't like it. Okay. Point, counterpoint.
All right.
Artie chick flicks in the spotlights. Miranda July versus Terry Zwigoff. That'd be a great crowd-pleasing smackdown on Triple M.
Okie doke. How about this? Sorry, Rich, were you about to do a pun?
No, I was just going to say Ghost World's great for the Steve Buscemi in a girdle.
That's true.
It's a good scene.
Katie Lovell's emailed in. Let's get us away from that. It says, Misha Barton is starring in a new movie called Finding Tattoo. Seriously, it's about two girls who go to a...
This is the film that Lockie Hume auditioned for. He told us about it on the show.
Well, here it is. It's happening now. Two girls go to a tattoo concert, discover they are lesbians, then take drugs, and I think one of them dies. Hopefully Misha, says Katie Lovell, 20.
I think Hume turned him down.
Did he?
You remember there was
Which of the two girls was Lockie going to play?
He was like some assassin or something.
The older gruff girl.
Remember he claimed it was a Roland Joffe movie?
That's
the guy
right.
The Killing Fields and going, he's doing the tattoo film now?
Can I say I reckon it's going to be a great film? They were amazing songs.
Yeah. They certainly were.
Not Going to Get Us.
Mm.
Oh, good track.
No more high-pitched song ever than Not Going to Get Us.
Yeah.
What about our wonderful callers? Do we love our callers
ever,
on this program?
Do we ever.
We had Brian Nankervis in on Friday's show.
Wonderful man.
This is one of my favourite ever callers here at Get This. Let's let the listeners get on board this.
Hi, Philip.
Hello.
There you go.
Good on you, Phil. How you feeling?
Not too bad.
Yeah?
No. Yep.
Here we go. What is the ARIA Award winning Gautier? What is his real name?
ARIA winning Gautier?
No. The guy who won an ARIA the other night, Gautier, what is his real name?
The guy that won the ARIA the other night was his real name.
Yes.
Was it Silverchair?
No. I'm going to accept that.
That is gold. That is the man who should be taking over this shift, I reckon.
He's going to pop up in Police 10-7.
I love how Brian knew to ask him if he was okay. Okay, but Phil, you all right?
Yeah. I'll confirm that later.
That guy's one. Phil, if you're around, give us a ring. There's a prize coming your way, homeboy.
Our co-hosts, haven't they been great?
Best.
Peter Rosalm was in yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I didn't think about this, that, you know, it's the last time we'll have a lot of these people on the show.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So technically, you know, this is the last thing that they will ever say on Get This. And we had Peter and he was our first ever co-host.
Right.
And it was kind of awkward at the end because we only had 10 seconds.
To wrap it up.
So have a listen. I didn't even notice till I listened back to this. Have a listen to what the last thing Peter Rosethorne said on Get This was. All right, time to sign off. Thanks, Peter, for sitting in for the whole hour.
Been a pleasure, my friends. Thank you so much for all your help through the years.
Are you saying we've only got 10 seconds?
Well,
what's our key phrase, Rich?
Oh, ducks. Dear, oh,
dear.
Disappointed from that.
There you go. Yeah, disappointing. Fantastic. Another magic moment here at Get This. Men at Work. They've been a big part of Get This here at Triple M over the last 2 years, and so have our sponsors. Oh, the Nissan Navara.
Oh, man.
Oh, tell the use of the year.
I can't argue with that.
Cornering ability.
Ooh. Corners like a biatch.
Ride comfort, Richard.
Ooh.
Storage space.
Cool. Blimey.
Rugged good looks. Pulling power. We know about it all. Other lesser brand utes.
Your time is up.
Done.
Out of the pool, you lot. Any more advertising or messages?
Here's the thing, Tony.
That we'd like to do?
Yeah. The kids like booze, you know what I mean? When I say kids, I mean the young adults, yeah, 18 sure, and over. Yeah, No, don't haul me off air. She'll be right. Let's keep going, shall we? They've done another study, Tone, and guess what? Mm. Guess what? Energy drinks and, your ones with caffeine in them and such, named brandless, of course, and booze aren't that good for you.
You joke.
It is the weirdest thing.
Oh, that's bad news for so many people around here.
It's the weirdest thing. But the problem with these things, Tone, is that every time they release a study, it sounds like the world's greatest ad for the drinks that they're trying to get rid of.
Very true.
Well, have a listen to this. University students who mix energy drinks with alcohol are twice as likely to end up in dangerous social situations. Which is bad, but here's the real kicker, Tone.
Yeah.
Those who mixed alcohol with energy drinks also drank significantly more in a typical session and got drunk twice a week.
Oh, happy days. But never been a better time to do that.
We spoke to one of the students, Tone.
Did you really?
Yeah, who drinks the energy drinks with the alcohol, and he said, I'm Richard, and when I'm having a vodka and a red moo-moo drink, I get super silly. Last time, the rogue traders and I got so crazy. The pictures are on my MySpace. You like Matt Corby?
Who doesn't like Matt Corby?
Students.
What about some of our big name guests that we've had over the years at Get This?
We've had the huge names.
Greg Fleet.
Yes.
Lockie Hughes.
John Cooper Clarke.
What about Chris Isaac?
Mm. He's good.
And Kenny Dale Johnson, who follows him around with instrumentation, scoring Chris's every comment. We had him in here and we were talking about, it's surely the greatest rock video ever made.
Did a bad thing.
Oh, isn't that a great clip? We were talking about that with him. That's a fantastic clip. And, of course, that was in possibly the best thing about that Stanley Kubrick movie too. Eyes Wide Shut.
We went to see that movie, because I had music and I had to go to like three different openings.
Oh, my God.
And we went to three different openings and I watched the movie three times and it was like, I liked it because I like Kubrick stuff, but I don't get it.
No.
I go, some strange stuff.
They could have done.
When my song came on, I'd always jump up and yell.
I wrote that. They should have had your song on during the orgy. So it was just somebody hitting the same note on a piano for about 25 minutes.
There was a young woman who did the soundtrack, and they said at some point, and she's very serious, dressed up, and they said, "Chris, this is the woman who wrote the soundtrack." And I met her, and I had to bite my tongue. I was going, "Hey." That was pretty easy work, wasn't it? Bong. Bing.
Remove your clothes.
Bong. I'm going, what are you? You're listening to the doorbell and you said, that counts. That's good enough.
You say a monkey picks all your music?
Yeah.
I'm afraid so.
That's better than the other monkey story with our tour manager. Tell him that one.
No, you
tell him. I'll tell him that one.
Okay.
I got to edit it, but he'll figure it out.
Yeah.
My manager, the tour manager was out, and he went to like Hong Kong or something. They had walking down the street, and he says, there's a big like chimp stand there. And he goes, wow, a chimp. And the guy says, yeah, you can take your picture with the chimp. And it's like, a dollar or something. He says, oh, cool. And he stands next to the chimp, and he's taking a picture with the chimp. He says, and he looks down, the chimp is all sexually excited.
That's what chimps do.
He's going like, take the picture. I'm done. And he says, all of a sudden the chimp has got his, put his arm around his shoulder and then his other arm reaches over and takes his hand and is...
Oh, you joking.
Taking his hand and pulling it towards his genitalia. And he goes, and Chris, he goes, chimps is really strong. I said, there is a horrifying situation.
And did it have a happy ending?
Yeah, happy ending. There you go.
Remember, we evolved from that. That used to be us.
Yeah.
That was pretty much business as usual for us.
And they still send letters to each other, I understand. Yeah, they're still in correspondence.
That's nice. Chris Isaak and Kenny Dale Johnson there, possibly touring. Who knows? He's always on the tour, that bloke. You're listening to Get This on Triple M. Something else is next. It's Eskimo Joe, Black Fingernails, Red Wine here at Get This around the nation on Triple M. Show business news. I see Katie Holmes was let out over the weekend.
Oh, that's nice.
She was able to take part in a marathon.
Yeah, whenever you see Katie Holmes by herself, the photograph is always of her running moments before the Scientology minders get hold of her.
Well, look at this. It's the New York City Marathon. Holmes crossed the finish line in Manhattan Central Park in 5 hours, 29 minutes and 58 seconds.
That's ages.
Well, she came in 98th,
okay.
But it says positions 90 to 97 and 99 to 110 were filled by Scientology minders, so she was in a ruck there.
Not a bad record.
When asked how she felt after the race, Holmes replied, "The Thetans will triumph and Tom is definitely not gay," as she usually does. Great listeners calling in, people saying, you know, what's going to happen next for the Get This team? Who's going to fill the slot? You know, who's going to do this shift? Well, now, I've put
Gangajang, surely.
Maybe Goanna Bang could come in as well.
Be wonderful.
But, you know, I'm trying to think of someone who might be appropriate. And I bumped into a bloke last night who does voiceovers on Media Watch.
Oh.
You know, reads out the letters.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe he could do a shift here. And I said, would that be a problem?
My word, it would have been a problem. It just couldn't happen.
There you go.
He sounds more and more like Chris Taylor from The Chaser every single week.
Hey, would that be on tonight? Yes.
Oh, listen, you got your Newstopia.
Hang on. It doesn't start there.
Sorry,
you're working backwards.
I'm working backwards.
You got to start at 8:30 with AB and Specs and Specs.
Absolutely.
Then you got your Chaser.
Then you got your Chaser.
From 9 till 9:30.
Then your Librarians.
Hang in there for your Librarians. And then as soon as David Stratton's beard appears on your telly.
Or as soon as David Stratton hates a comedy, which is inevitable.
Then that's your cue to switch over to SBS.
SBS
for Richard Marsland's Newstopia with contributions from Sean McCullough.
You know what I love about Newstopia? I tape it and I'm never sure when to stop the tape because there's so many jokes after the credits. You're never sure when it's quite finished.
Yeah.
Lots of little stings in the tail.
Are they your ones?
Not usually. I wish they were.
Okay, that's on the SBS. Most of the action on the ABC tonight, then over to SBS for Newstopia. But the ABC,
good night.
ABC have a lot of crime dramas. They're always running crime dramas. That one the Fitzy put us on to, Life on Mars. That was very popular.
Yeah, good show.
And I think we were working on crime shows for the ABC this year.
Coming up on Your ABC, a new series of Life on Mars.
My name is Sam Tyler. I'm a police officer. I had an accident and woke up in 1473. Am I mad, in a coma, or back in time? Whatever it is, it's like I've landed on a different planet.
Well, what have we got here?
Open and shut, Gov. She's a witch.
Right, chuck her on a bonfire. We'll be down a tavern quaffing mead by closing.
Hey? All right.
Oh, what's the matter with the D.I., Tyler?
I don't know. It's not really procedure, is it?
Procedure? This be the 15th bloody century. I don't give a toss about procedure.
Yeah, but why do you jump straight to necromancy? I mean, these are the classic symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder.
You what?
Look, I'm a police officer.
I don't think thou have the balls to be a witch finder, G.I. Tyler.
That's not true.
Listen, Merry England is my gaff. I say, burn her.
Then, providing balance in the Chaser's absence, it's Tony Abbott's War on Everything. This week, Tony shows up at Philip Adams' house dressed as an issue of Quadrant. Followed by the new look message stick. News in the form of a stick. And Tuesday Night Book Club with Radio's Ed Cavalier.
Well, it's so hard to choose. Obviously, Middlemarch has that extraordinary sprawling narrative and deep mastery of character, but at the same time, Zoo has the booty bang.
There's family fun with Mr. Bean Goes to Baghdad.
You can't park there, sir.
Oh.
followed by just a photograph of Sigrid Thornton for two continuous hours. Then, from the makers of Midsummer Murders, comes an identical series about a country detective with too much exposition on his hands.
Of course, Constable, the missing gun was only a diversion. That must mean Sir Roderick wanted us out of the way at precisely 2 p.m. But why, Sarge? Why at that exact time? Because that's when he plans to murder Lady Felicity with a gun he keeps in the top drawer of the desk in his office, unless we can get there in time to stop him completing his nefarious plan. So what should we do? Drive there. Right now, in this car, before it's too late. Sir Roderick, why are you going over to your desk in your office?
Because there's something in this top drawer.
What?
Yes, this gun.
But Sarge, I don't understand how you knew about the gun in the top drawer.
I saw it in the back of a photograph in the microfiche file of the public library.
Of course.
Drive faster, he's probably already cocking the gun.
There, as you can see, this gun is pointed directly at your head, and I've just cocked it.
But why would you have kept a gun there in the first place?
Simple, it was a gift from Lord Bellamy, the same Lord Bellamy who knew where the diamonds were hidden.
I'm going to pull the trigger any second now, and do you know what that means?
And why the suitcase had a false bottom
left?
The firing pin will collide with the bullet casing?
Exactly.
The same suitcase Lady Carstairs mentioned in her original will.
As soon as that clock strikes 2 p.m, that's what I'll be doing. Firing this gun.
And that's why the passport details didn't match up.
Causing the bullet to emerge
twin sister in Norfolk.
Look, it's nearly 2 p.m.
Counterfeit Krugerrands. Blackmail,
of course.
Drop that gun, Sir Roderick.
Damn.
Hence the thumbprint on the Matisse.
Correct.
The explaining detective and his helpfully dim assistant on your ABC.
Yes, that's right. Pretty much an exact episode I saw. Talkback Mountain is next on Get This. What's going on here? Is that you, Richard?
Oh, Stefanovic's powering up.
Thank you, Underworld, and the Prime Minister, and Richard Marsland, Sir Le Wheels of Steel.
Mm-hmm.
Here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M, where the podcasts come thick and fast.
What are we up to,
well, one went up last night, 148. That had a bit of Wayne Hope, a bit of Brian Nankervis. A lot of talk of selling and eating Dixie ice creams.
I was spawned
and born
in this Bay 13.
You didn't have, you got to have a good run up. You've got to hit the ground flying for that sentence. I was born. You've got to get from naught to 10.
Let's give it a
in less than a year. He's going to have a crack at it now. How does Rex do it? I don't know.
I was born and spawned at half time in a Dixie ice cream and through guts and determination, ferret. I got out there.
Unquote. New listeners, we can't explain. John Howard sings in podcast 148.
There he does.
Guess what I've got? That was a shambles. Now, today, today 149 is going up there, the rally cast.
Good times.
All the antics from out the front of the building, that's all in there.
Good, good, good.
If it was cut out in your state, here's your chance to hear it.
Fantastic.
Okay, let's climb Talkback Mountain. The power station and Matty D on the pots and pans. Now, all I've got written down is, all right, I'm out of here.
That's it, Tony.
Okay, that's it.
Am I still back?
Yeah, here? No, you're okay. Here. Sonically, you're gone, but in the reality, he's
what's
still here.
What's this about?
Tony, this is just breaking points for folks.
Oh, okay, so if you've found yourself having to say the sentence, that's it, I'm out of here. Then you can be on the segment.
One too far, Tone. We had some people around the other night, and someone pulled out a guitar.
Yeah,
it's enough. Okay. I actually left myself when someone came up to me and said, "Ed, oh man, I'm sorry. I accidentally tripped over the couch, fell through your door, and threw West Coast cooler all over your bed."
Gone.
Yes. How is that an accident?
Hit the road.
The couch is like 10 metres away from my room.
Yeah, I get the feeling, see, the premise is you can't understand why someone's tipped West Coast cooler all over your bed at the house where you live.
Yeah.
Okay, let's cut back to tomorrow, or cut back to tomorrow.
Oh, wow. Let's travel through time. My name is Sam Tyler.
No. Let's cut back to yesterday.
Okay.
When you spent about an hour down in the office telling me how much trouble you've got into with your flatmate.
Let's keep going.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about
that. Further into the future, you mean?
No. What?
Oh, right. I thought you meant let's keep going further into the future.
No, let's get out of here, Tony.
Forget time travel and not travelling through time.
During this show, I've been evicted from 2.5 houses.
Yeah.
And I don't want to make it 3.5.
It's heading for a third. You keep cracking jokes. I know. I get it. When you tell me and Richard, and sometimes Nikki laughs, you know, it's funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
But at home, it's not playing.
It's not playing.
They don't want you in that shift.
They don't.
They want music in that shift at your house. Face it. They need to divert resources from you to the kitchen.
The problem is I've got to be nicer.
Yeah.
That's the main issue is I have to be nicer. And that's not easy for me.
He's the grumpy one.
Yeah, I'm not the grumpy one. I'm just the, you know.
Okay. Otherwise it'll be. That's right. Okay.
All right, you, Tony Martin.
Well, see, all my stories involve this place. There's going to be trouble.
All right.
So instead, let's turn to the world of celebrity, where I don't know if you've heard what's happened.
Mm-hmm.
George Osmond.
Who's that? Oh, Donnie's older brother.
No, his dad, the patriarch of the family Osmond, has died at 90. He's left the building.
It's a shame.
Oh, who takes over? I think Donnie becomes the new...
Yeah, Donnie's the new one, yeah.
He's the new Don of the family, technically. Maybe little Jimmy will finally get made. It's quite ugly down at Soprano, down at their bar to big.
In their war against the Partridge Family and the Brady's, things are getting heavy. Man, they're going to the mattresses, them and their monkeys.
Yeah. It's Danny Bonaducci doesn't want to stop at any service stations with a handbrake off. That's what I'm guessing.
Just in case he sees the Archers with a couple of pump actions. The Archers or the Archies? One of the two.
The Archies. I'll take the Archers. That's more obscure.
Okay, Rich.
When did you say it?
I went to a party the other night. Not good party music, Jeff Buckley. No. What's Jeff Buckley doing on?
No, people love Jeff Buckley, assuming that we're back in the year 1996. Now, it's just getting old.
Ooh.
And it's not Jeff's fault. Yeah. It's not Jeff's fault. It's the people who pick up a guitar at the end of the night, have a crack at Hallelujah. They're spoiling it for everybody. Absolutely well done, Rich.
Okay, that's what we're looking for.
The time you said, that's it.
I'm out of here.
1-3-3-5-3. That's the Pretender, the Foo Fighters here at Get This on Triple M. No time to muck around. Who's saying that's it? I'm out of here. Ed Cavalli.
Hi, Stuart.
Hi, Ed. Hi, Tone. Mars Lando. How you doing?
Hey, Stuart. Good.
Excellent. Hi. When did you say it, bro?
Okay. I was at a school reunion, my girlfriend's school reunion.
Oh.
It was in country New South Wales.
Yeah,
so it's interesting anyway. But I knew it was
reunion.
Time to say, that's it, I'm out of here, when one of the students tried to crack on to one of the teachers.
Oh, wait. Well, hang on. Let's not poo-poo it just so quickly. Stuart, a lot of meaningful relationships have started that way.
That's true.
Oh, dear.
Sorry to see you go, guys, by the way.
Oh, thanks, Stuart.
Stuart's changing the subject.
Sorry, Stuart.
moving on.
Okay. Thanks, Stuart. Good to talk to you.
That's the man who should be in here, I reckon. Beautifully done, Stuart.
Hi, Erin. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Excellent. When was it time to say, that's it, I'm out of here?
Well, it was last year at my boyfriend's 30th. I'd spent all day making this big purple iced cake.
Yeah.
By the time we tried to sing happy birthday, everyone was too drunk. No one was really interested. So I cracked it, took the cake and half a slab and sat out the front and sang happy birthday to no one.
Oh, that's very sad. And how long were you waiting inside the cake to burst out of it? Was that the embarrassing part?
No, that would have been more interesting for the drunks, I think.
I think that would have been great for the drunks. A giant cake just getting up and walking out.
Yeah.
Cake's leaving.
And how's the relationship travelling?
It died.
Of course. Well, yeah. You know, you sound happy about that.
Okay, Ed, we'll be taking your details off here.
I am not like
thank
that.
Thank you very much, Ed.
I'm not going
to. Thank you.
We've got Mick on the line. You there, Mick?
Hi, Mick.
Nah.
Sorry,
hey,
boys.
Well, I'm confused now. I don't know who I am anymore.
I actually changed your name just without you knowing, so yeah, that happened.
Okay with that, bro.
What happened was I was playing cricket when I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually on 49, and
not
at
bad.
The time you retired on 50.
Oh.
I got hit in the ghoulies, and when I bent over, I got run out in the pitches.
That sounds like it's straight out of Tim Zura's book, I have to say.
That's how that happened. And also, guys,
This is a bit awkward. I was trying to get on the phone all day to get onto you. On Friday, yep. I'm actually getting a Rex Hunt tattoo on my ass.
Oh.
a Rex Hunt tattoo on your ass?
It's saying, this is dizzy stuff, folks, on my ass. This is in my protest to your show getting axed.
Well, there it is, a lasting memorial to 2 years of radio.
All right, Mick, come on, please. Serious issues. Mick, how large or small is your ass?
Well, it's a nice sort of chiseled firm ass.
Is
I
it?
Would say.
Okay, now can you do me a favour? After you've got the tat, spray it with some fake tan, slap on a G and get yourself into Zoo's booty bank, my friend.
Am I able to ring you while I'm getting that done on air on Friday?
We may get Richard to cross live to your ass at some point, but let's just see how we go. How big are you planning on getting it?
Covering one cheek, basically.
Covering a cheek. What are you going to put on the other one?
I was thinking Richard's face, but that'll be
lovely.
Down the line.
That is lovely. Then Rex and Richard are in constant conversation on your ass, which is a gorgeous thing. Mick, I've been padding with you for the best part of a minute and a half while Richard and Tony attack the computer looking for a Rex Hunt clip, but it's not going to happen, I'm afraid.
No, that's all right.
But please give us a call on Friday when you've got your tattoo done, and we'll send something your way.
Also, are you able to put a thing out to any tattoo artists in the area to hook it up at all? If not, I'm still getting it, but yeah.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do. I know a few tattoo artists. One's working on me right now, so I'll ask him, and then we'll put the word out. Good on you.
All right, sorry. Can you believe that in 2 minutes of padding, we can't find a single Rex Hunt clip at this studio?
What were you looking at?
It's like Rex Hunt is gone. That's it. I'm out of here.
Thank you, everyone.
That's all we've got time for, sadly. Okay, we'll be back in the next hour. Yes, we will, with Alan Bro.
Get this.
Oh, look, I won't get into any of that.
Brought to you by Nissan Navara. Huge pulling power.
What I want, cause I can, if I don't, because I wanna.
Are we crossing to the Melbourne Cup today, Richard?
Be ignored by the stiff and the bored, because I'm gonna.
I think we should do it every day here and get this on Triple M. Alan Bro is here.
Hello.
Good to see you.
Nice to be back, thank you very much.
What's going on? You're all muscly now.
I've been, it's just pure vanity. I turned 40 at the end of the year.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, I woke up in a cold sweat about 3 months ago and thought, I'm going to be a fat prick my entire life. And I thought, no, I'm not going to. So I'm sorting myself out. And when I turn 40, I'll be not as fat.
Great. Yeah. Great goal.
Kind of looking very Alan Schwarzenegger at the moment. Very impressive.
I'm just about to buy a hydrogen-powered Hummer. That's what Schwarzenegger's got,
and go and
it?
Talk to some bushfires.
Yes, go and tell the bushfires to stop. Or however he'd do it if I could impersonate him.
They are all terminated.
There it is.
What are we going to do now? I have to say, what did you do last time you came in, Alan? There was something, wasn't there? The Spicks and Spectacular.
Oh, yeah, the Spicks and Spectacular. That's right. Yeah, we're going on tour.
Has that not happened yet?
No, it hasn't. Not to the best of my knowledge.
Well, it's pretty typical of us to be advancing the sizzle for something 6 weeks before it even is meant to begin.
I think Todd McKenney's been playing your part, Alan.
Oh, has he?
Yeah, I think it is. Sorry, mate.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I wouldn't have thought he would be camp enough.
So they got that guy, Richard Reed, from the Today Show, just to get it right.
What about amateur theatre? Have you done any amateur theatre?
Yeah, a lot of amateur theatre since I was 5 years old.
Oh.
And some people would argue that I'm still doing amateur theatre.
We won't hear it. We want amateur theatre disasters. Nobody, I reckon collectively, this group in here has more amateur theatre disasters than all the listeners combined.
Mm. Okay, well, I'll start it off if you don't mind.
Dude, not now. This is just the sizzle part of the show.
Oh, we're sizzling it.
Yeah,
okay.
Listen to that jazz flute.
Yeah.
See? Yeah.
Ham and eggs.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I like it. You wonder why we're not on Triple M for much longer?
Not really. I've always thought what Triple M needed was more jazz flute, but I've never been brave enough to tell them.
We've been saying it for years. Let's have some amateur theatre in this hour of Get This. There they are, the only three men who will never be sacked from Triple M. ZZ Top here on Get This Around the Nation. Is everyone feeling fine? Everyone okay?
Yeah,
good.
Completely fine.
Okay, how are you, Mr. Abbott?
Feeling as womanly as is humanly possible.
Sure. Are you enjoying yourself, Mr. Howard?
Oh!
He's sure is enjoying himself there. What about you? What have you got to say, Peter Harvey?
If they want my sperm, they're going to have to get me into bed and get it the conventional way.
All right.
Fair enough.
That's enough out of you, Richard Tregoning. Alan Brough is here.
Sorry, all I can think about is Peter Harvey now and how I'd get him into bed. How would you chat him up? Yeah, what would you possibly say to him?
You have to have a mailbag and lure him.
You would. Oh, yes, come and see my mailbags. Yeah.
Want some of this?
Yeah. Want to read something highly opinionated but completely under-researched?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. I like the challenge of chatting up Peter Harvey.
Yeah, I know, Alan, but I've just heard that you're no longer in the 4%.
The 4%?
The 4% of us without mobile phones. You've gone over.
Yeah, I've gone over to the other side.
What happened?
Well, I just basically my age. We're about to go on tour with the Spicks and Specs thing.
Yeah.
And my agent said to me, you have to have a mobile phone. And she said it in such a way that I realised I had to.
Oh, okay.
And so I went out and bought one.
And how many hours of the day have you lost so far?
Not many. I forget to take it with me.
Oh, that's the one.
So it's actually not that mobile because it sits a lot on my desk and I'll come home and there'll be lots of messages and I'll go, hi, and they'll go, why do you not take the phone with you? Yeah, right. Oh, I forgot. So that doesn't come
anymore.
I'm new
at this.
Yeah, I know, exactly. But I do like texting.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
But all my friends are like 13-year-old Japanese schoolgirls. They can just like fire off a 2,000-word essay in two seconds.
Do you know what, Alan?
Yeah.
That's the kind of sentence that needs to go quickly. If you go, all of my friends are like 13-year-old Japanese schoolgirls, pause.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's a gap for us to start thinking.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's when, you know, Nabokov goes, oh, I've got an idea for a book.
Yeah. He does, yeah. Especially here.
Nabokov references early on today.
I know, sorry. I'm just thinking, who else? No, it doesn't matter. Saul Bellow can wait.
Okay.
I bought a telephone that's got really small buttons as well, and I've got quite big fingers.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
And so I'm really just mashing the keyboard and hoping that something interesting comes out. So people are getting a lot of texts and they're just going, what's wrong? It's like, you remember the swearing in Asterix boxes?
Yes. I do.
Books? So that's what all my text looks like. So everyone thinks I'm an angry Gaul at the moment.
Hang on. I'm being texted by Asterix. What's going on?
Want to come round for a wild boar? Well, I don't mind if I do.
Can I just say quickly how delicious did those boars look?
Oh, yeah.
At the end in the banquets, when Getafix and all the rest of them are tucking in, they were so deliciously glazed.
Yeah. Cacophonix
was up there singing or tied up in one of
the huts. Tied up.
I always feel it's unnecessary to go whacking an apple in the... mouth there. It's got that sort of Pulp Fiction gimp feel to your dinner.
No, it makes him look happy. He's smiling. And the boars all looked quite content as well.
And look,
they were sleeping.
Your apple is your natural ball gag. And it's filled with vitamin C and crunchy as well. So I think that's really nice.
Alan, you claim to be a lucky man. What's going on?
Oh, well, I went to the races for the first time.
How'd you go?
See any horses?
I was up.
You're up?
Yeah, I was massively up by the end of it. It was great. I'm a really bad gambler. As soon as I gamble on something, it dies pretty much.
But is it just random? Are you just choosing at random?
I know a bit about the form because my father was into racing. My grandfather was a horse trainer at one point.
Right.
And so I know a little bit about the form. So I had a look at that and then I thought, in the first race on Derby Day, there was a New Zealand horse that took my fancy.
Oh, yes.
And so I went and I won on that. So I won like $100.
Bang. Up. Wow.
And I thought, okay, well, I only bet on New Zealand horses.
Yes.
And my patriotism paid off.
And there's a good track record. Remember the Hayden Haitana years?
Yes.
It's a great time for New Zealand racing.
So, and recently, the funniest thing that happened is I went to Sydney to see some people recently, and I went out with a friend of mine, and we went to this pub, and I don't know why, she said, look, there's $20, go and put it in the pokies. And I went, why? And she just went, just go and do it, all right?
This is Sydney. This is what we do.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You're so culturally different. But it was sort of interesting. It was like being on holiday. I was on holiday. So that's why I was like being on holiday.
Do it.
I actually have a disease where I find it difficult to identify when I'm on holiday.
Is that right?
It makes every day quite interesting. Well, am I on holiday yet?
Well, someone needs to put a lay around your neck every morning. Alan's holiday lay.
The chance would be a fine thing, Ed.
maybe the Japanese schoolgirls could contribute.
I put the $20 into the pokies. I pressed the button twice and won
$1,000. Oh my god. You are the only person to ever win on a pokie.
Well, I know.
That's not going to happen again.
No, of course it's not going to happen again.
It's going to happen for 60 years.
Oh, no, I'm going to be run over by a bus leaving the radio station.
$1,000.
Yeah, $1,000. So
I hope you put it straight back in.
Oh, no. We said, no. Well, what we did is they came out with a wad of cash. Whoa. And it was just hilariously ostentatious because here we are ordering more wine because we just went, bring it on. And they just come out with a bundle of cash and all these people are looking at us.
Oh, my god.
I said, hey, I'm a pimp to this person who was staring at us across from the table and they just stopped looking at me.
Wow.
But it was great. We just spent all the money on wine. It was absolutely, well, I think it was brilliant.
Look at that.
Oh, it's another feel-good pokey story.
I don't want to endorse pokies in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah,
and
you
I don't
just
want to, and I don't want to link them with alcoholism. Of course, not. Please don't get me wrong.
Don't do that. But can I ask, after this happened, were the management round the pokie machine going, mate, how did that happen? That can't happen again. No, it must be faulty.
The one that we'd won on was actually closed for renovation.
Of course,
we
left. Of course.
The white sheet comes up.
It was taken out to the car park and shot in the head, that pokies machine.
No, I think they broke its arm.
All right, we have to talk politics. I'm afraid we do. I'm sorry, Alan. Sorry to sour the atmosphere, but we're going to do it next with the assistance of the Treasurer on Get This.
Cool, it was just all cool. Now it's over for me and it's over for you.
Thank you, Matchbox 20 here at Get This on Triple M with Alan Bro.
Hi.
He's here.
Thank you, Matchbox 20.
No problem.
I've never had the chance to thank them publicly for all they've done for me.
Good on them.
This is your forum.
Politics, Alan, politics. Are you getting into this election campaign?
Oh, I love elections. The problem is I've got a gig on election night.
Oh,
my favourite thing in the world, this is, you know, people who know who I am will know that I'm nerdy anyway.
Yes.
When the American midterm elections were on, I went and found a bar that had CNN and watched the entire midterms.
Wow. Yeah.
But my favourite thing to do is watch Anthony Green on the ABC coverage, yes, who knows which way booths tend to swing.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So when he's got a seat, he'll go, well, these booths are from up north and they normally swing Labour, and you go, you know the booth.
Good on you, Greeny.
He knows the name of the booth. He probably knows the people who run the booth. He probably gives the booths pet names. So I'm going to miss watching Anthony Green. I just love it.
And what will you be doing while that's all happening?
It's a preview of the Spicks and Specs show.
Oh, okay.
So it's fairly loose. So I'll probably be ducking off out the back and, you know, receiving texts about how Monero is going.
There it is. That's the swinging
that's
one.
That's the bellwether one, I believe, is what they say.
Man. But, you know, Peter Garrett, he's certainly been, he's been accused of dropping a few
he's
clangers.
He's been under the pump recently.
Oh, but yeah. Do you remember earlier in the year when Daniel Johns made some joke,
that's
some
right.
drug reference joke
yeah.
about...
Yeah, that's right. With him and Peter Garrett, he said that...
And
perhaps,
Bono.
And Bono, yeah, perhaps yeah, they had right. partaken in a university cigarette.
And, of course, Peter Costello picked up on that one.
Mr. Costello, there's been some suggestion this week that our presence in Iraq has perhaps more to do with oil than with
If I could cut in there, Kerry, I mean... That'd have to come as news to our troops stationed over there. I don't think that's the reason they've bravely decided to lay down their lives. I mean, it's a very cynical way of looking at things.
All right, fair enough. What about what's going on in the Northern Territory? I mean, your government has come in for a fair bit of criticism.
I don't think, you know, criticism is perhaps the most healthy thing to be offering our boys and girls in Iraq. I mean, yeah, how would they feel?
Okay, well, let's maybe turn to the polls. I mean, you must be disappointed
the polls. Okay, yeah, let's hit our brave young girls and boys in Iraq with the polls now. Let's bash them over the head with the figures.
Well, I can see we're getting nowhere here. Now, this incident with the... Let's see, Daniel Johns and Peter Garrett. I mean, you've mentioned that. Obviously, that's been exposed as a joke. Well, now...
Let's call drugs a joke. Yeah, that's a good idea, Kerry. Let's have a bit of comedy at the expense of crack babies. Is that what Kevin Rudd would like to do now?
I'm not sure that Kevin Rudd was implicated in Mr. Johns' attempt at humour.
Well, I think, you know, it has to be asked... Is it funny to have a bloke sitting on the front bench dancing around like a spastic in old video clips, clearly under the influence of jazz cigarettes, in thrall to dame heroin?
Oh, I don't think there's any suggestion that Peter Garrett is involved in heroin.
Well,
I mean,
is there a suggestion that he's not? You know, Kerry, that's the thing. Once you get these druggies into Parliament and look at them, the front bench is riddled with...
What are you talking about?
Wayne Swan. I mean, that bloke looks pretty glassy-eyed to me. I've heard he's been knocking back the old Timothy Leary kerosene.
Right.
I've heard that Simon Crean can barely go 4 or 5 minutes without wolfing down a few hooker pipes filled with bed straw, as he likes to say.
Okay. Yep.
Jenny Macklin.
Right.
I mean, she's clearly been... knocking back the zoot juice, the flower of ragweed, the hake Ashbury salad, I believe they call it, over in on the opposition benches. I mean, is that who you want in charge of our children? The young boys and girls in Baghdad are fighting for freedom. I'm, gee, Kerry, if that's what you want to call good policy, then sure. Let's let Julia Gillard and her fleabane cigars.
Mr. Costello, you seem very au fait with the terminology here. I've not heard that.
I mean, who wouldn't be, Kerry, when you're staring at it across the house every day? You can see them.
Yep.
You know, there's Lindsay Tanner
right.
doing lines of the old... Gatsby detergent, I think they call it.
Okay, look, you've lost me.
You know, Arch Beavis knocking back some of the old Helsinki battery acid on.
Sorry, look, I don't understand a word you're saying. Are you sure you don't need to be drug tested, Mr. Costello?
Look, I'm quite happy to be tested at any moment. Look, here. There you go. Stick a thermometer up there and see what you get, Kerry.
Well, I don't know that that's exactly how one tests for presence of marijuana.
Whop it up there. See what you find. And I'll tell you what you'll find. Solid economic policy. And if you want to go over to the other side, I'll tell you what you'll find. Death and misery and deadly nightshade being injected directly into the eyeball by Peter Garrett.
Right.
Anthony Albanese's there tying them off. You've got Tony Burke coming in with horse trank for everybody.
Well, I don't think we've got time for any more revelations.
Well, if you can't handle the truth, Kerry, I mean, maybe you need to be tested.
Well, I'm quite happy to be tested, Mr. Treasurer, but would you mind putting your pants back on?
I saw Stephen Conroy trying to smuggle a boogie board into the upper house the other day.
There you go. I just like to point out, none of those terms were made up except for the phrase Arch Beavis. I can't believe that's for real.
We're going to be back with theatrical disasters next on Get This at Triple M.
That's Pearl Jam with Better Man here at Get This. Great cover version of that by Frank Bennett, I think you'll find. Alan Brough is with us.
Hello.
I actually made a mistake in the latest podcast, the one that's just gone up. Yesterday, I talk about there being a cover of White Room by Wayne Newton. I was wrong. It was by Joel Grey.
Was it?
Have you ever heard that?
No.
It's on that album Golden Throats, which is where most people first heard William Shatner sing for the first time. Remember Mr. Tambourine Man?
Yeah. Golden Throats. Pewter Throats, surely, with him.
Well, it's Joel Grey, who is in Cabaret, the MC, singing a sort of loungy version of White Room, but not trying to be funny with it.
Oh, my God.
Ooh, White Room, yeah. Like that. It's pretty funny, if you can dig that one up. We've got Alan Brough here. He's a man of the theatre, so let's crack open Ed Cavalier's Broadway Beats.
You know you'll never be lonely with
talking theatre.
What did you say off air, Alan? Which is the other beats that we've been neglecting recently?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's just that Marslin was so across all the beats in Adelaide. You know, where gentlemen go to meet other gentlemen at night.
Yeah, keep in mind this hour doesn't go out in Adelaide, so you can say what you want about that, Alan.
It?
Yeah, hove in.
Oh, no, I wasn't going to be rude about Adelaide. It's just that, you know, well, I always thought it was a really good public service that he was providing.
Do you reckon there's
really
a lot of blokes in Adelaide just at a loose end?
Oh, really? Yeah, champing at the bit, I would say. For their long walks at night.
It is.
Away from family and loved ones.
Well, it is a toe tapper, this Broadway beat section. So we'll get into some beat action, maybe.
What are we doing?
Okay.
We're doing theatrical disasters.
I am a theatrical disaster.
All right,
Alan, come on. You've done a fair bit of amateur theatre across the Tasman, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Did you ever wreck an entire production?
Oh, yeah, did I ever. When I was about 7 years old, I was in The Merchant. My father was in The Merchant of Venice, the Shakespeare play, The Merchant of Venice. Yep. And he was, he said, you should be in it as well. I don't know why. And I just went, okay, you know, I enjoyed being on the stage and dressing up. Mm. And so one of the few things I had to do in the play was I was a page and I had to run into the court scene. You know, the Quality of Mercy is not strange sort of scene where it's all going down. And
deliver some sort of message. It was on a scroll. I just had to declaim it and then get out, and which how I was directed. Come in, read it, get out.
Yeah, you could probably pad though with a few prithees.
Yeah, exactly. And just so you know, it was one of my great, my favourite thing. I worked with the director once, and he'd go, right, okay, so what you need to do is come in, behaviour, and then out. And he did it as a joke because he had worked with a guy who actually said that. But we're working on a film, and he'd just go, right, so there needs to be some behaviour here, and then if you could leave over there.
A cue behaviour.
So what I had to do is I had to come through, and this was years ago, and all the sets were flats. So canvas painted with wooden frames behind
them. Looks real.
It looked really real. And, you know, it was real. It was just a trick of the light, really, the whole thing.
It was eerie.
It was. It was like being there, but even more so. And so what there were was these saloon doors on one of the flats, and I had to charge through the saloon doors and then just give it a bit of, prithee, my lord, I've got some stuff to say. Yeah. And
so it was the Merchant of Venice out west, was it?
Yeah, it was. And so basically when they moved the flat for the scene, there was a little toggle behind the saloon doors that stopped them moving. Uh-huh. Now, the idea was that the man what moved the flat would untoggle the saloon doors before...
Part of his job.
Yeah, before the juvenile started running through it.
He's on toggle.
He has got, and he's not got a lot else to do apart from running an electrical business during the day.
And smoking.
I'm
sure he's a smoker.
Massively just smoking roll-your-owns the entire time. Three of them just stuck to his lips. One from haymaking the year before. And so all I had to do was run through, and they hadn't taken the toggle off. I'd like to get a head of steam up.
Sure you do.
It was make it look like you've come from somewhere.
Exactly. I was a bit Dustin Hoffman and Marathon Man.
You're not exactly small, Ellen,
no,
bro.
Well, no, I was small then.
Okay.
Yeah, but, so I'm, I was a bit chubby. Leave me alone. So I'm charging down and just hit the doors, toggle not off. Entire set falls flat on all the actors.
Bang!
My father's head is sticking out from the top of the set that has just practically brained him, and he's giving me the filthiest look anyone's ever got on stage.
And it ran for 3 years.
Oh, and it was just, everyone was just looking at me, and I did my bit and got off.
And did your dad come up with a line, some sort of Shakespearean line?
Oh, no.
Prithee, the gods are angry tonight. They strike us down from afar.
No, he didn't actually, but I got struck down
I'll
from up close.
I'll get thee, Paige. I'll get thee, Paige.
I'll get you, Paige.
Oh, sorry, that was gratuitous.
My toggle. Not switch, Prince.
So all just, it was all one toggle. Not one toggle on, and the whole production went down in flames.
It takes something as small as that to ruin a theatrical production. Listeners, surely you've been responsible for something like this. Everyone's done a bit of theatre. It doesn't have to just be your fancy Shakespeare. It could be the School of Stedford.
It could be the stage version of Pulp Fiction that you did at my university.
Oh,
you know who you are.
Call us now, 1-333-53.
Get this.
I think that stinks.
Brought to you by Nissan Navara. Huge pulling power.
Oh, yes, you're listening. Oh, hang on. Air break's still going in Brisbane, I think. Yes, we're finished. We're out of there. Get this on Triple M around the nation. Alan Bro, Mr. Theatre, is with us. That's what we're calling
it. That's a good title for you.
Why? Mr. Theatre.
I just like that.
Yeah, because I'm open at night and fit tons of people in.
Bang! There you go. Who's on the line with a theatrical disaster in Keverley?
G'day, Luke.
How you going, mate?
Excellent. What happened?
I was 13 years old. I was playing Edmund in The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe.
Fantastic.
And there was a scene where I had to hold a fake baby, and I patted it on the back and its head fell off.
Oh, its head fell off.
And the audience gave me a round of applause still, so that was all right.
That's right. The rule in theatre when that happens is always act like it was deliberate, but that's a hard one to pull off. It's a scene in the book. You probably don't remember it.
It's in the adult version of the book, the kids' version of the book, the headless baby was taken out.
I like to think that people just thought that you put a really dark edge onto the character, Luke. Oh, you know what I mean?
Yes. Jeez,
that's goodies.
That's what they thought, I reckon.
Yeah, good on you, Luke.
Lion, the witch, and the headless baby. Can we top that?
G'day, Adam.
Hey, boys. How you going?
Excellent. Theatre disaster?
Yeah. Can I first just say devastated that you're going, boys?
Thank you, Adam. We are
coming door to door doing the show. Just send in your address.
Oh, I look forward to that. Okay, 1983.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Princess Theatre.
Yep.
The opera Così Fan Tutti.
Yes.
So here I am dressed as a page boy.
Right.
And I got the part essentially because the costume fit.
Fair enough.
And... victim of theatrical parents. a black page boy, let's say.
Okay.
I've got black makeup all over me, standing there throwing, had a pouch of little gold sort of leaflet things, and I'm throwing it across a princess.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. And there's a signal from the back of the room, a white card, to tell me when to stop throwing the gold.
Good. Yep, yep.
But with the hot lights and the makeup running, I can't see the board.
No, of course.
I keep throwing away. There's gold, more gold, more gold. I can hear the director in the wings whispering, "Enough, enough, enough." After 3 or 4 minutes, he comes storming out onto the stage. "I said that's enough."
Oh, that's always good.
And drag me out.
Fantastic. And the audience reaction?
The audience was laughing. They were in tears. And I got dragged off by the scruff of the neck.
It's the great thing about something like that is, though, 5 years later, nobody remembers anything about Cozy Van Tutti, whatever that was. They just remember
but
that one.
I remember him saying, "You'll never work in this town again."
Oh, wow.
A powerful man.
Heard that one ourselves. Thank you very much, Adam.
G'day, Joe. How are you?
Hi, guys. How you going?
Excellent. What happened?
Well, I was in a production of Jesus Christ Superstar many years ago.
Oh, that always ends badly.
It always ends badly. Exactly. That's right. Everyone knows it, too. And I was one of the high priests, and one of the pivotal scenes, I suppose, one of the big serious scenes is where Pilate sentences Christ to 39 lashes.
Oh, yeah, Pilate.
I do it on stage.
Yeah.
And the whole cast is on stage, Jesus in the middle, and there's a Roman guard with this cat of nine tails. Now, the cat of nine tails is like a stick with these foam strips attached to it.
Oh, you know, yeah, that's
with
real.
A piece of string. And Pilate sounds, you know, he counts off the lashes, and he goes, "One!" And the Roman guard hits Jesus, and every single one of the little plastic strips falls off. And the whole cast, the audience, everyone knows. Everyone's thinking the same thing. There's 38 bloody hits to go with this little piece of string tied to a stick. The only person who doesn't know is Jesus. So this Roman guard's hitting him with a little tiny piece of string, and he's like, "Ah!"
And did the play recover from that point?
It went bad, very badly from there, because the audience was laughing at the Son of God being struck with a piece of string.
As they rightly should.
That is great. Thank you very much,
that is
Joe.
Beautiful.
The course of history would have changed dramatically if they'd hit him with string.
Yeah.
I love that kind of stuff. I've told you before, I once saw a sword fight in Hamlet with only one sword. It's hard to pull off. It can be done.
Finally, Daniel, how are you?
G'day, guys. How you going?
Excellent. What happened, mate?
I was actually playing in the band for a production of Singing in the Rain.
Oh,
and
yes.
Anyone that knows Singing in the Rain knows that Act 1 actually goes for like an hour and 45, hour and 50 minutes.
Yeah.
It's a massive Act 1.
Sure.
And this theatre that we're in the orchestra pit, and when the show starts, the orchestra pit's on the hydraulics and it lifts up.
Yes.
Ooh. So once the show starts, you can't get out until intermission.
Right.
So 10 minutes into Act 1, when one of the sax players turns to me and says, "Mate, I need to hang a piss."
Yes.
And I'm like, "Dude, you still got like an hour and a half to go."
Yeah, it is Singing in the Rain. It'd be appropriate. Right.
And then the rain effect starts on stage, and water's coming in through the roof. And he held on. He got to about 15 minutes before the end of the act, and he's like, "No, I can't do it." Sweat's pouring down his face. He was in absolute agony, and trying to play saxophone, you know, you use your diaphragm, which is right on top of your abdomen.
Yes, of course.
So one of the violin players ended up having to empty out a Coke bottle, scold the rest of it, and handed it to him, and he's gone, "Right, everyone turn your heads."
A classy moment in the theatre. But surely, you know, doesn't it work with Singing in the Rain on stage that the rain comes down and then it sort of drains away? They have a kind of drain.
Yeah, but unfortunately the drain was at the back of the set for that one.
Oh, I see. So it's like peeing in the shower, but on a really big
Yeah, but the worst thing about this whole thing was the smell.
Yeah. It's always great when a play can be improved by the addition of urinal cakes. Well, that is a fantastic selection of theatrical disasters. Well done, everybody.
I would have loved to have gone to all of those, can I say?
Dad, I feel like I've seen them all at some point in my life. Beautiful stuff. Thanks, everybody. Back to wind things up in a moment. I get this. Yes, well, speaking of time, thank you, New Order, True Faith there, winding up another round to get this. Alan Bro, thank you for sitting in for the whole hour.
Hey, thank you very much for having me on, and I shall miss listening to the program every day.
Oh, well, you've been a great contributor over the 2 years, and many of your fine moments still exist
on the internet in podcast form. I'm being told we have 30 seconds to go. Just time to plug the Specs in Spectacular. When's that on?
I think we start the 26th or 27th of November in Melbourne. Then we're going to Sydney and Adelaide. We're having Brisbane, Adelaide. Then we're going to Sydney, and then eventually we're going to Perth.
Beautiful stuff. Thank you, Alan, once again. Thank you, listeners and emailers. Is there time for a key phrase, Richard?
There is. All my friends like 13-year-old Japanese schoolgirls.
I wish we could explain. We'll be back tomorrow with Jay Kennedy. Yes! And it's all thanks to the Nissan Navara huge pulling power, China Hutch, and no Japanese schoolgirls, sadly.
Now it's all out and you know!
Assault! Assault! You touched me, officer. Sorry.
Specs in Spectacular. When's that on?
I think we start the 26th or 27th of November in Melbourne. Then we're going to Sydney and Adelaide. We're having Brisbane, Adelaide. Then we're going to Sydney, and then eventually we're going to Perth.
Beautiful stuff. Fantastic. Thank you, Alan, once again. Thank you, listeners and emailers. Is there time for a key phrase, Richard?
There is. All my friends like 13-year-old Japanese schoolgirls.
I wish we could explain. We'll be back tomorrow with Jay Kennedy. Yes! And it's all thanks to the Nissan Navara huge pulling power, China Hutch, and no Japanese schoolgirls, sadly.
Now it's all out and you know!
Assault! Assault! You touched me, officer. Sorry.